Может, скажу. Ты же нас любишь, животные. Он боится и так
скажет. Я боюсь.
А боже, отойди.
Нет.
Какого он боится? Боится?
Потяни сейчас сам. Вверх потяни. Ой, умничка, Риад, умничка. Ногу не сломай. Умничка, умничка. За обе ноги. Молодец, Риад. Умничка. Умничка. Все, операция удалась. Дурак. Молодец, Риад. Умничка. Умничка. Все, операция удалась. Дурак. Мы часто замучаемся над тобой. Реально, барана.
How about that? All right, I know we've shown that sheep video before, but I just had to. I mean, there's a reason God refers to us as sheep, you know? No sooner are we out of a ditch and we're right back in it. Well, good morning. It's great to have you all here with us today. How many of you were at the worship night Friday night? Can we just thank our worship team? I mean, they make it look like it's easy, but they work for weeks and weeks to get ready for that. So this morning we are in week two of week three of a 7-week sermon series entitled I Am, and we're reviewing the 7 I Am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life, I am the vine, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All 7 of which come from the Gospel of John, and all of which are rooted in this massive statement God made to Moses, I am who I am. And we've scheduled this series during the ancient annual practice of Lent, which helps us prepare for Easter. It helps us prepare for Resurrection Sunday as we focus on the person of Jesus. We're focusing on these I am statements because knowing Jesus is hugely important for knowing ourselves. Somehow our identity is wrapped up in the identity of Christ. We are who we are because Jesus is who he says he is. Last week we reviewed the first I am statement of Jesus, I am the bread of life. And we saw that we have to take Jesus inside us. We have to in some way consume the presence of Jesus to really live, to really be satisfied. And today we'll look at 2 of his I am statements together. I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. Let's pray. Jesus, we know that you're with us right now. And we know that you have specific things you want to say to each of us. And so, God, I pray that you'd protect us from every distraction, that you would speak your words of life and hope all across this room this morning. God, would you help us to hear your voice and follow you faithfully? I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In February 2019, a few of us traveled to India, and we had the most amazing time there, meeting these incredible people, listening and learning, praying and worshiping, eating as Indian as we could. And I've been there 5 or 6 times now, but that trip in particular, I did not take a single day for granted because we barely made it into the country. Long story short, which I always say when I forget the details, someone, maybe it was me, got the dates a little wrong on the visa application. Apparently, arriving after midnight is a new day. Even if it's only 9 minutes late, it's a new day, and it was a day later than our visa allowed, and we almost didn't get out of the airport. I mean, I'm serious. They were really serious. They were not happy with us. There was much shouting in Indian and angry faces. So 6 months of planning, 24 hours of travel, 10 grand down the drain, and these angry Indian consulate officials were dead set on sending us back on the same plane we had just landed on. Have you ever been in a mess like that? Anything, you know? Fortunately for us, this one official, this one guy took pity on us, and he negotiated with the other Pharisees or consulate officials, and he somehow whisked us right on through the gate without a bribe, leading us straight into the arms of our Indian friends. I've thought of that story a lot since that day. And this week, as I was meditating on this passage that we're about to read, it came to mind again because it's such a good example of how one guy in the right place at the right time with the right authority can get us out of trouble when we are totally helpless, can make a way forward for us when no one else can. It doesn't matter what the resistance is. And all of this is the story of Jesus, of course, on an infinitely greater cosmic scale. He is the good shepherd, and he is the gate. So today's I am statements, we're going to focus on two of them. They come from the book of John or the Gospel of John, one of my favorite sections of Jesus' teaching. Again, like last week, Jesus is in his third of 3 years of ministry. He's just had this run-in yet again with the Pharisees. Those are the Jewish religious leaders. After he healed a man blind on the Sabbath. And he corrects them using this extended metaphor about shepherds, which we're about to see. Not only because there were sheep and shepherds everywhere, but because sheep always represented God's people. And shepherds always represented the leaders of God's people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, all of these guys were shepherds before they were anything. And the ideal king was pictured in Ezekiel as a shepherd. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were supposed to be the caring, self-sacrificing shepherds for God's people, but they weren't. They used their power and their authority for self, I don't know what, self-importance. So with that said, let's see how Rabbi Jesus schools the Pharisees this time. So this is John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Jesus says this, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." I'm guessing that's why that poor Russian sheep was running away from those people. He's probably just scared. Video. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you," he's point blank, "I am the gate for the sheep. All who've come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them." So he's referring to the various leaders of Israel who tried and failed to lead the people, either by force or by selling out, like Herod. And he's making a point that he's the only one who's going to be able to effectively lead God's people. "I am the gate," he continues, saying that a second time. "Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief," this is one of my favorite five verses in the Bible, "the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." That is the purpose of Jesus. And he'll do whatever necessary to make that happen. He won't quit in your life. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus was the most gracious, most loving rabbi anyone had ever met, but he was no pluralist. He made one absolute claim after another. He is not a good shepherd among many. He is not a gate for the sheep, as if there were many options to get to God. He's the only gate to God, and he's the only shepherd. He's the only shepherd who truly knows his sheep, who can protect his sheep. He's the only sheep who knows really where the grass is greener. Jesus is the only shepherd who knows his sheep. To this day, shepherds in Israel name their sheep Harvey, Wanda, Ralph, Petunia. My sister had a sheep named Petunia, and me and my friends would try and ride that thing. You spend enough time, though, around an animal, and you will learn its personality. You will learn its distinctives. You spend enough time with an animal, and you'll learn their voices, and if you're good to them, they will learn your voice. They will listen to you, and they will trust you. This is why Jesus said just a few lines after this passage we just read, "My sheep hear my voice." Johnny, Donna Marie, Janet. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know me." And knowing him, like really knowing him intimately, results in following him, which results in doing the things the shepherd does. "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." That's what's natural. I'll never forget one night in India seeing this exact thing take place right in front of us. It was pitch dark, probably 1 a.m. We're driving and, you know, it's just this rough road. And all of a sudden, we stop. And so I kind of wake up and look ahead. And right in front of me is this huge mass of sheep. I mean, house to house. There's nowhere we can go. It's got the whole road, the whole village packed full. And there are a few shepherds kind of mixed in with all these huge variety of sheep. And there were goats in there too. And all at once, this one shepherd kind of peels off to the side, goes through this gate, and about 20 sheep just follow him. This shepherd is a picture of Jesus, and that is a picture of the normal Christian life. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. He's always speaking. 24/7, he's always speaking, day and night. The Psalms talk about this. Night after night, the heavens are declaring and speaking the glory of God. He's constantly speaking to you. Are you listening? And if you do hear his voice, do you follow him? If you don't know his voice, don't feel bad about it. It's okay. Maybe you're new to all this. It's all right. But what are you doing to learn what the voice of Jesus sounds like? You can hear him through the scriptures. You can pray the prayers he gave us, like the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. You can pray a prayer like that, "Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name," and then just sit for a second and see what he would say back to you. Recently, I've been doing that with Paul's prayers in Ephesians, and God is like blowing my mind with the stuff he says back to me as I pray the scriptures. You can listen and you can pray through the Psalms of David. Psalm 51 if you're feeling guilty. Psalm 40 if you're feeling depressed. Psalm 103 if you're sick. Psalm 100 if you're grateful. You can listen to God through other people. Get around people who know what the voice of the Lord sounds like. If nothing else, come up here after the service and let somebody pray with you, and you can hear the voice of God through other people. And we have all got to learn to listen with what Paul calls, the Apostle Paul calls, the ears of our heart. We have to develop this capacity to recognize his voice and to make sense of it. This is where we're different from sheep. Among all the other ways we're different from sheep, we were created, this is what distinguishes us from every other creation, this is why we didn't come from apes. We were created in the image of God so that we could relate to God. He's the shepherd who wants a relationship. Secondly, he's the only shepherd who can protect his sheep. Oh, boy. Sheep, creatures that are in serious danger without a shepherd. They don't even need some external threat. They are a threat to themselves. Sheep move as they eat. You know, they just shuffle along with their heads down, kind of moving along, these big, like, fat little woolly vacuum cleaners, eating what's ever in front of them. And they follow what's ever in front of the herd. They will follow each other. I read this week. They will follow each other right off a cliff. Seriously. So I Googled this thing. I looked it up. In Turkey in 2005, this is not funny, don't laugh. In 2005 in Turkey, 1,500 sheep followed each other off a cliff. True fact. You can look it up. I have a video. No, I don't. It's not. That's not funny. 1,500 sheep followed each other off a cliff. They're helpless. Sheep are helpless without constant direction and protection. And that makes them in trouble just like you and me. There's this big movement out now called Lions, Not Sheep. And you can buy the t-shirt, you can put the sticker on the back of your truck, but you're still a sheep. You will always be a sheep, and you will always need a shepherd, and you will always benefit from a gate. In a village in those days, shepherds kept their sheep in these collective sheep pens, and these sheep pens had these gates to keep the sheep in and the dogs and the wolves and everyone else out, right? But in the open country, well, they were out, away from the village. They kept their sheep in these temporary crude corrals they would build out of rocks and brush and whatever they could find. And the shepherd himself would serve as the gate, lying down at night, sleeping in the entrance to keep the sheep in and keep everything else out. And unlike the hired help, who would do whatever necessary to save themselves, Jesus did whatever necessary to save the sheep. I lay my life down for the sheep, he says three more times. Jesus abandoned himself, in a sense, before he would abandon his sheep. He laid down his life on a cross to save his sheep. As we were singing that song, "Oh, the blood of Jesus rescued me," I was so struck by the kind of ridiculous nature of that. Think about that. We're so removed from the need for sacrificial blood, and yet our entire lives, if we're a Christian, is based on dependency on blood. It's a weird thing, but it is the absolute reason we are all sitting here right now. "Greater love has no one than this," Jesus said, "than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you." If you do whatever I command, which includes laying down your lives for the people around you, laying down your plans, your comforts, your preferences, your very lives, like Jesus did. He's the only shepherd with a genuine relationship with his sheep. He's the only shepherd willing and able to be a gate. And he's the only shepherd who knows where the grass really is greener. Isn't that what we all want? You know, you get into this pasture, whatever it is, a relationship, a job, a house, and how long before you're like, maybe it would be greener, like, over there. Jesus said they will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. Ask any farmer in the valley and they'll tell you, and I can tell you too, animals will do whatever they need to find something green. They will practically kill themselves to find new pasture. But shepherds in the dry Mediterranean area Jesus lived in, they didn't have fences. Anything green was so rare, the shepherd had to be constantly moving his sheep multiple times a day to find them something green, right? And good shepherds always were a step ahead. They always had a plan where they were going to take their sheep next. They couldn't stay anywhere long because it was going to be dry. So when Jesus says, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved and find pasture, he's covering all the bases. Eternal life, daily life, and everything in between. Everything you need, Jesus is saying, is found in me. He knows when it's time to move. He knows where to take us to be filled. He knows how to get us there. And he's not asking you to have it all figured out. You don't. All he's asking you to do is to follow him, one little shuffle at a time. On Monday, I heard this song that worship team's going to sing this over us. On Monday, I heard this song for the first time. It's called Million Little Miracles. And it made me think about the million little and the not so little miracles I've experienced in my own life. The opening verse reads, all my life, I've been carried by grace. Don't ask me how, because I can't explain. It's nothing short of a miracle that I'm here. And those words couldn't be any more true for me. If you knew what I was like when I was in college, like some of y'all, man, you would know it is nothing short of a miracle that I'm here. Not just here, like talking to you now, but here as in alive. I was like that sheep at the beginning, and I still am at times. God pulls me out of a ditch, some dark place of worry and confusion and minor panic, and I follow him for a while, and then I jump straight back into the ditch. How did I get here all over again? But he doesn't give up. He just keeps rescuing and rescuing. He doesn't get tired of it. You know, most of the shepherding he's going to do in your head, how you think. He's going to work with you in your brain and your heart. And you're going to wander in your heart and your brain. And he's going to be like, wait, over here. That's what he's going to do all day long. He's going to redirect you how you think. The older I get, the longer I follow Jesus as the good shepherd, the more I realize every good thing I have, every green thing that's in front of me is a result of following him. You can't help but follow something. It's just in your DNA. Why not follow the one who's promised to lead you to what's good, to lead you to what is fresh, to lead you to what is alive, to lead you out of trouble, to lead you to what's safe, to lead you out of what will very much kill you. Some of you in here now are practicing things that are going to kill you. And it doesn't have to be crack. It could be some kind of poisonous thinking that will stress your body to death. Why not follow the one who can lead you out of that? It's a million little miracles that he wants to continually lead us into. As Sarah and Luke sing this song over us, there's not going to be lyrics. We're not going to sing along. It's not a great congregation. It's hard to sing. Let them sing it over you. Maybe close your eyes, if you would. And just for a few minutes, think about the few or the many little miracles Jesus has done for you, and imagine what he wants to do next. He works with our imagination. Ask him to speak into you. He wants to be your shepherd in a whole new way. Jesus, as this song is saying over us, would you invite us to dream about the million little miracles you want to do? Would you remind us of the things you have done? Can we have the ministry team come forward? While the ministry team is coming forward, I know there's got to be some people here who need some kind of miracle. Like, you've been maybe trying something so many times. You've done everything you know to do. We want to pray with you. You may or may not come forward. So we're going to ask you to stand where you are. If you need a miracle of some kind in your life, wherever you are, stand where you are. Be brave and stand up, and we're going to just pray for you where you're standing. I'm just going to wait for a minute. God, would you speak words of life? Would you be the shepherd and the gate right now for the people standing? Jesus, the truth is, you know, we all need miracles, every one of us in here. But specifically for those who are standing right now, God, we ask for breakthrough. We ask for an unmistakable miracle to come into their lives today, right now, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that you are a good and faithful and trustworthy shepherd. You use your rod to comfort us, not to beat us. I'm going to close reading Psalm 23, probably the most famous poem of all time. The Lord is your shepherd. You lack nothing. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He refreshes your soul. He guides you along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though you walk through the darkest valley, you will fear no evil, for he is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil, and your cup overflows. Surely his goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Please come forward for prayer or be dismissed. We'll meet those of you who are newer in the back corner. I love you all. God bless you all.